word of prayer. Father God, give thanks for today, Lord. We're just grateful that we can come together to worship you, to start the day with you, to listen to your word. And Lord, we pray that your word would touch us today, God. Bring us conviction and purpose, Lord. And we just desire more of you, your presence in our lives, Lord. So we invite you to come and touch us and lead us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 4. Excuse me. From verse 1 to 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to scripture. Amen. Okay. So this is Paul writing his letter. So this is Paul speaking. And at verse 1, notice he mentions the gospel. So the word gospel isn't just what we call the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But Paul here references the word gospel. So gospel is simply, the meaning is simply good news. So in Paul's time, this word would not be just used in a biblical or religious context. It was just used generally, like good news. Like it was just normal part of their vocabulary to mean good news. Now the word gospel is not so commonly used as just saying good news. It's more in a, I guess, as in a Christian context, right? But this, so it, gospel can just mean general good news, but of course, the good news that Paul is referring to specifically, you could say is the best news, right? The gospel. And Paul lays it out very specifically. Like, what is at the very heart of the gospel? Well, first, the gospel, in verse 3, he mentions that this is something that he's delivering to us and something that he received. So this is not something that Paul came up with, the gospel, right? It's not something he just fabricated. No, the author of the gospel is God, right? And so God was the one who gave the good news, and he gave it to different people, right? And including us, right? So the gospel is something that we all have received, and we've been touched by it. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and including Paul, and for all of us, right? The gospel is something that is there is a consistency to it, but there's also a different perspective. Have you ever wondered why there's so many gospels, right? It's kind of same, but at the same time, a different perspective, a different experience, a different, I don't want to say interpretation, but what was even emphasized is slightly different in each gospel, but it is the good news. And at the very core of what the gospel is in verse 3, it's just a few things, is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. So basically, Jesus was resurrected. Now the question we have to ask us is, so these are things that happened, right? You could say this is, the Bible is also historical, right? It's not just, it's not opinions, it's not fiction, it's not, I feel like this happened. These are historical events. So, how are these three things, Christ died for us, died for our sins, buried, and was resurrected, how is that the good news, right? These are things that happened, but how exactly do those things translate into being, oh, that's wonderful news? And so we need to also understand, and this is why there's different gospels, and even you have your own gospel of, like, you have your good news of why these three things that happened, there's more to it, but these are the main three things. Why is this such good news? And it's important for us to be able to understand and articulate that, the why, because this is how you share the good news, right? If all you say is just say, Jesus, like, you know, if you share with your non-Christian friends and you say, Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, and that's all you said, right? Of course, God can use it and maybe bring supernatural understanding to the other person. And it requires that as well, an element of that. But if you aren't able to explain beyond that, people might say, so? So what? What does that do for me? Right? What does that do for my life? And so how is the gospel of how is it that Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, why is that such good news? How does that impact your life? And for all of us, it's different. So that's why we all have our own gospel that we've also received, and hopefully that you will, just like Paul, deliver. In my case, before I became a Christian, one of the things that I really experienced quite deeply and difficult was, I guess you could say, loneliness, right? I remember, even though I spent a lot of time, had a lot of friends, a lot of people, I would always go out, always had people to hang out with. I remember very distinctly that there was one night as I was going home after a night at Lang Kwai Fong. I'm just so clear. This is pre-knowing Jesus, so I'm not promoting this behavior. But after a late night, I was walking home from Lang Kwai Fong, and suddenly I felt this, like, such loneliness and emptiness in the pit of my stomach. And it wasn't like loneliness from people necessarily, but I just felt so empty, like kind of really questioning, what's the point of this? Is this it, right? And you can feel this not even just from Lang Kwai Fong partying, right? It could be anything, right? So I had this already deep feeling of that going on, and I was dealing with that in my life. And then I encountered God through a prophetic conference. And the first thing that touched me and shocked me was that God was real, right? I was like, oh, I always thought it was just a belief that people just wanted to partake in and feel good about themselves, but I never realized that God was real. And so even at this point, like, okay, how does that impact connect with the gospel, right? A big part of it is that Jesus resurrected, right? Because if Jesus did not resurrect to prove that he was in fact God, right, and thus, like, he would have been just a person. right? But he did. He resurrected on the third day. And thus, God is real. But my experience and connected to that was, I guess, through the prophetic. And then where the gospel really touched me, because again, I was dealing with, I guess, this feeling of purposelessness and loneliness, was the fact that Jesus died for our sins. It was so meaningful for me because he died, or in the way I connected it and how it became very personal, was because when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, it bridged a gap, right? Because when we sin, it created a separation between us and God. And so when Jesus died for us, I was touched like, wow, he actually did that for us so that he could have relationship with me. And then, of course, what follows as part of the gospel message is also that as Jesus ascends into heaven, that he sends his helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, and his presence would indwell with us forever, right? And then so on top of that, not only Jesus' willingness and love for us to die for us so that he could be with us, he even gave us his presence to be with us. And so for me, that's what the good news is for me. And so when I talk to people, these are the parts I emphasize, right? But it could be different, slightly different. At the very core, it still needs to, the very core of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for us, right? But how that's meaning for each of us could be different, right? For some of us, it could be like, I feel like I'm such a sinner. I feel so unworthy, right? And for me, that wasn't so emphasized. That came later. Because honestly, I always felt like I was a good person. So that aspect of the gospel, if someone had come and delivered that to me and said, oh, you know, don't you feel like you're such a sinner? And I'd be like, no, I don't think I'm so bad, right? Like, I'm not hurting anyone with my partying, and I'm friendly, and I'm inclusive, and I listen to people. Like, so that aspect might not have touched me so much. But for others, that could be the part that really touched them. You know, the idea of their sinfulness and feeling valued. So it's different for all of us, but it's important that we understand, like, why is the gospel the good news? Not just the facts of what happened, but why is it good? And then in verse 2, end of verse 1, verse 2, he also says, he points out that the Corinthians have received the gospel, and that they are standing by it, and that they are holding fast to it, right? Holding fast to it. It's interesting that he points out that they're holding fast, because if you, I mean, we're doing it so sporadically, like I'm doing this once a week, but if you go through the Corinthians in Paul's letter, they weren't the perfect church, right? They're dealing with division. They're dealing with immorality. They're dealing with, I mean, just prior to this, you know, we're talking about love and how they've overemphasized the spiritual gifts, and they're all weird, right? Because they're constantly speaking in tongues. So they're all weird. And so they're not perfect by any means. But they are holding fast to the gospel. They're holding fast to the gospel. And that is significant, and it means something. In contrast, right, with the Galatian church, they did not hold fast to the gospel. Right? What the gospel was, they changed it and made it, I mean, the gospel is about what Jesus did on the cross for us. Not what we did, right? So it's a message of grace and mercy. And what the Galatian church did was they made it about works, right? They made it about earning. And this really upset Paul because I think he called it like, basically he said, this is false. This is not the gospel anymore. And so it's important that we hold fast to what the gospel is in our lives. And I know this seems like, oh, yeah, of course, but it's not, I mean, as we take a look into our lives, are we really doing that? And I want to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. How often, even though this is what the gospel is, and PSAM talked about the intellectual conviction? No, intellectual, someone help me. There's 2 points. Intellectual, P. Nate, wife of PSAM. No, that's the second part. Intellectual conviction. Okay, that's correct. Okay, so there's 2 parts. There's the intellectual conviction and the volitional surrender, right? And I think probably most of us have an intellectual conviction of what the gospel is, right? It's not earning. It's about love, right? It's about what Jesus did for us and then our response. Also, we are responding in grace and not works. But then there's the volitional surrender, right? Are we actually also living that aspect out, right? Where we're receiving that grace and living by grace and extending that grace? Or are we living, and it's quite natural too, right? Or are we living according to the world? Are we earning? Are we trying to get the approval of man? You know, our intellectual conviction is, God gave me my job. He put me there. He's my boss. But then the reality of how we live is he's not there, right? His presence is barely on my mind. And the reality is my human boss is who I am looking to get approval from. My goal in life is to climb the corporate ladder to get more. And so, even though it might sound like, of course I'm standing by what the gospel is, I think it's good that we could assess, are we? And if you're not perfect, that's okay. Right, because even the Corinthian church is not okay. It was not perfect. So I want to invite, are you on worship? Yeah. To lead us in worship. And that just take a minute, go before the Lord. Are you holding fast to the gospel? Right? Everything, all the truth, the good news that it represents, is it permeated in the way we live our life? If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, truly, are we really actually giving him the control? If he has really set us free from sin, from the bondages of the world, are we feeling that freedom in our lives? So just go before the Lord. And if there's something that's out of alignment, then it's simple. We just repent, right? And I was thinking, even on the way, I was like, oh, you know, like the fact that Jesus loves me and accepts me and died on the cross for me to that extent, like, it doesn't mean he accepts you, like that acceptance he has over me doesn't mean I just continue to sin and do whatever I want, right? What that, you can start playing. What it means for us is that we can go before him in repentance, right? Instead of expecting a stiff arm to hold us and kind of, you know, I guess, have a, I don't know, in Korean it's bijasa. He's not going to be bijasa against you, like kind of like hold a grudge against you. No, he loves us and accepts us so that, And I guess through his kindness, it would lead us to repentance, that we would go before him, share our mistakes, our shortcomings, and just say, God, like, this is where I'm at. I need your help. And I repent. I choose you and not choose my flesh. And so let's go before the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing word, that He would minister to those who are going through this difficult time and season in their lives, to give them encouragement and strength. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness and also in need, word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities. Let's pray for a receptive heart as well. And let's pray for their healing from the illness. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's continued healing and restoration. Let's pray for those who are going through COVID. You can take off my helpers. They're negative now. I think also can take off Caleb and Verity, because Caleb was in the office yesterday. Let's pray for those on the COVID list. So as of now, I think only Sally Shee is on the list. Also, let's pray for any frontline medical workers as well. Let's pray for their protection, and let's cover them. Let's also pray for Sterling and Catherine and their job search. Let's also pray for our community now. Let's go turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore SPSG. That's led by Pastor Sam Kim. Also, let's pray for Indonesia and our spin plant, SP Indonesia, which is led by Pastor Salamat. And let's also pray for the Philippines and our local plant spill, led by P. Ernie. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for our IP intercessory prayer team led by Matt. And let's also pray for the well that's led by Harris and Christine. Let's pray for also River, our inner healing. Let's pray for Rachel. Let's also pray for the local outreach team. Let's pray for Agape, Homie, Bridge, Recreation. And let's also pray for the evening outreach, Homie Outreach. I guess that's tonight. So if you could pray, pray for all these ministries. Also pray for SP 2.0, Building and Resources, the Benefactor, Division Fund. Let's pray. Let's also pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Hina and other pregnant moms. Let's pray for their protection. Pray for the process. Pray for healthy baby. Finally, let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for East Bay, First Street, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. Father God, we just give thanks to you and for the word today, Lord. We just pray that the gospel message, what you did on the cross, would, the way it touches us, the good news would also be reflected in the way we live our lives, Lord. In the way that just as we have received the good news and received your grace and your love, we could also deliver that, extend it to other people, Lord. Just lead us today in all that we do, Lord. Open our eyes and our ears and hearts to see what you are doing, and that we would join in what you're doing, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day.